Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to She Podcast Quarantine Version.
It's not quarantine version.
It's not not quarantine version.
Right. It's just life.
Quarantines, the quarantine sessions, we'll call it. Like, it's a special segment of our show.
Well, I don't think it may last forever.
Yeah. But let's remain hopeful, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jessica Kupferman. And with me is always my co-founder and co-host and co-bestie, Elsie Escobar.
What's up?
Wearing it. All right. And then beloved producer, John Domingo.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
And we have some good stuff to talk about today, I think. It was Mother's Day yesterday. Did you have a good Mother's Day, Elsie? I didn't hear from you till like late in the day. So
yeah.
Does that mean you were having fun or that you were not having fun?
I think what I texted you was like, I wish we could press pause.
Okay.
On a day. As in, like, if it was Mother's Day, then you get like a it's kind of like how people are feeling that about rent and mortgages and things, where it's like, it's not enough to just have it be like delayed, right? Like, mm-hmm. Because if it's delayed, you still have to pay that. Like, you have to pay that. But if it's taken care of, then you can just move forward. Like, how do you say that? Whatever that word is. Like, I wish Mother's Day was that. So it's not delayed, but a pause on it where you wouldn't have to do what you're supposed to because I felt like I had things to do. Mm. I had things to do the whole day. And
that's a lot of things. What? How come you can't avoid doing things on Mother's Day? I'd like to know that.
Because if I would have avoided doing some of these things, then I would have been paying for them today.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Wow. Maybe.
It's just work. It's work. I have to do the work. What are you doing? Oh, my God.
She's sneaking in. And we can see her. So it's, as soon as she comes in, I start cracking up.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. And then I got mad. I got mad at that one. The child that just came in, Maymay, because
that's how we do.
Because I lost my mind on her. I was very angry with her. Oh, yeah. I was very angry with her yesterday.
Wow.
Because she just would not relent on the things that she wanted and the things that she thought she deserved and all of the stuff. And I was like, dude. Just stop it.
Somewhere out there in another universe, there's an Elsie yelling at Maymay, relent! Relent!
Just stop it.
Just do it my way for the love of all that is holy!
Yeah. It's that. I said to her, listen, I just want you to say, okay, mom, I'll do that. Instead of, but I did that yesterday. Like anything I said. Can you please clean this up? I already cleaned that up. I picked up two. How come Hunter doesn't have to pick up two?
I love that. That's my favorite thing. So my thing is now if he gives me the wrong answer, I'll go, no, Isaac, the right answer is, okay, dad, okay, mom. And he'll go, okay, dad, okay, mom. And then he does it. Yeah, but like, I'm not sure if I'm tricking him or he just knows I'm right or what. But I'll just go, that's not the right answer. No, no, none of this is what you need to be saying. All you have to do is say, okay, mom. And he's just like, yeah, but okay, mom. Yeah, but I get my okay.
Okay, mom. Okay.
Like a couple times yesterday, he goes, fine. Happy Mother's Day.
And oh my gosh.
Like, shut the door on me. I was like, okay, bye. Fucker.
No, Maymay's gotten to the point where she goes, this, I cannot believe she said this to me. I was just like,
oh, I can't wait.
She goes,
what'd she say?
How come you only tell us to, how come when you tell us to clean the house, you say it's our house? But then whenever you don't need something cleaned up, it's your house. I was like,
she has a point.
Like, yeah, she's eight. And I sat there and I'm like,
yeah. Oh, damn.
This is all our things. No, it's only when you do this and when you want that.
No,
and then she goes,
she's right.
This is my, like, I don't want to do this. And now every time I ask her to do stuff, she goes, but it's my body or it's my iPad or it's my whatever. And I don't want to do that. And it's like
she does not get to take control of her body until she can vote. That is the rule. Up until then, it is your body to protect and care
right,
for.
That's what I keep saying.
Whether she does a good job or not. And also, she does have a point about the house, but I would just say you have to clean up our living space, but it is my house that I pay for.
Right. I know.
If you want to differentiate, like, here's how we do it. Our living space, my belongings.
Yeah.
That's how we do that, okay? Because, yeah, Isaac says that to me, too. It's my house. It's my room. We're like, no, you're renting. You're a renter.
It's just, it's very frustrating. So then, there's times when I get really frustrated when it comes to that, where I'm like, can you just, because then I get really wound up and it's like an hour and a half of this discussion that could have been spent doing, you know, other things like taking a walk or, I don't know, finishing something I could have done in like 30 minutes or, you know, those things. But
at first, I thought the quarantine would give me a chance to like really get to know and appreciate my son and my husband and my mother-in-law. And that worked for like 6 weeks. And now I think I might understand them too well. And now I hate them.
So you got to know them. You just didn't get to appreciate them.
No, I did. And then now I'm just sick of their faces all. And I'm sure they're sick of mine. You know? Well, I've also learned a lot from living with a baby boomer that I never thought I would learn. Like all that comedy I used to do about my mother-in-law making fun of her and stuff. Like I'm now convinced that most of the stuff that annoys me about her is every person her age. Like 65 and older, let's say.
Hmm.
I think that their parents... Well, first of all, let's start with their grandparents had this like depression era like attitude. And then when their children grew up, they went to the war and then they came back to have children. And then they had a bunch of baby boomers. But also what they did was they decided, what can we create that we can spend money on? I know shrimp forks, salad forks, butter dish. Crystal no one's going to use. Silver trays that we use twice a year. Fancy salt and pepper shakers. Extra dishes for Passover. Extra dishes for nice dinners as opposed to the not nice. Like they just went full hog on everything possible extra they can think of. And that's why we now have the debate of top sheet versus no top sheet. This is a boomer caused dilemma.
It could be. But I think it was old school too, though.
Before them?
Before, yeah. Because
that's what I'm saying. Their parents did this to them.
Oh,
and then
right.
they grew
yeah,
up
yeah,
thinking
yeah, yeah.
you have okay. to mail a physical card in case anybody dies, gets sick, or has a sniffle. You have to run out and buy a physical paper card because it can't be just an email. It's not extra enough. It has to be written and stamped and fancy with a thing and put in the mail because that's the only way to do it the proper way is if it's a hassle. Right.
Also, Stephanie is in the house. Hello, Stephanie.
So, Stephanie, this is actually a millennial/Gen Z debate as to whether or not people their age versus people our age use a top sheet on their bed. People younger than, say, 30, I'll even go as high as 30, maybe it's 25 now, think that top sheets are bullshit and that we don't need to use a top sheet. And John, I guess, is on that list that the top
Stephanie
sheets are bullshit.
No.
And you just
yeah,
do like
no top sheet.
Oh, that's, she says, what debate, no top sheet. Well, yeah. Some people do want a top sheet, like, so they don't sweat on their blanket and can use it more than 3 nights in a row without gagging. That's all.
I like top sheets.
I like a top sheet, too. It's fresh feeling. It's a fresh feeling.
Well, it's also extra, like, a little extra warmy, right? So.
Like, it is extra warmy.
Yeah.
Stephanie is definitely in the no top sheet.
Yeah. Camp. She hates it.
Wow. See that? I don't know how old she is. And you can tell me if you're a millennial or a Gen Z, but I'm going to guess millennial because you're clearly not as old as me. So
I'm a boomer and I don't like them.
Yeah. A lot of boomers don't like them, but you know, you're a special breed, John.
Yes, I am.
It kind of on topic, but off topic at the same time.
Yeah.
And this is not in the show notes. So okay. I'm reading this. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a huge fan of Sherlock. Like
oh,
Sherlock
I love
Holmes.
Sherlock. Me too.
So Sherlock Holmes, just like as an entity, like I've always wanted to be Sherlock Holmes. Like that was like, you know. Anyway.
Yes, I'm fully
So aware. I just found a series because obviously the canon from Arthur Conan Doyle exists, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's movies and, you know, all that kind of stuff that have been made, books and whatnot. But I just found a book series that makes Sherlock a woman. And so she is called Charlotte. Charlotte Holmes is her name. And so I'm reading a book called A Study in Scarlet Women. And it's her, the first in the series. The author is Sherry Thomas. But the reason that I'm bringing this up in this context is the fact that she, obviously, she has all the tendencies of Sherlock, right? So she is very brainy. She's very analytical. She wants to do her things her way. She's not particularly good with like relationships and the whole thing, right? So, Jenny Wetter read that series. So anyway, so she really loves all those things. And then one of the things that she's commenting in there is that everybody expects women to get married. Like that's what they're going to do. There's no sense of education. You can't just go get in a career, especially, right. Could you imagine Sherlock Holmes like getting married?
No.
Like, for just and being a woman. I mean, the whole thing.
Is she
wrong.
A drug addict? Like the well, or is that just
well?
Benedict
we maybe later on we'll see what happens. But at this moment,
Benedict,
not.
Or is that how he's written as a drug addict?
No, he is. He's a coke addict. Yeah, but anyway. So what she does, she seduces a married man. She's in her teens, I think, at this moment. Mm. She seduces because her dad said he was going to pay for her education and she didn't have to get married. And so what she ends up, and her dad reneges, like he's like, no, of course you're going to get married. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get married and do this thing. So she's like, fuck that. So she seduced a married man, mm-hmm. and then she made sure they were caught, like in bed.
Right.
So people were not want to marry her anymore because society was like, you know,
fixed it so that she was a pariah.
Yes.
And therefore all she could do was something intellectual.
Yeah, or not be doing anything. So anyway, she ran away and then she's trying to figure things out. But all I'm saying is that there are a lot of little things that she brings up like that, where it's like, why do we even have to do this? Like, who says that I can't do that? Like,
amen,
why can't
sister.
I just go here? Why do I have to do this? And so she fights it every step of the way. And it's not an easy fight. But when you're talking about like these baby boomer things and like you need to send a card or you need to da-da-da, like all of that, the entire society subscribed to. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't do that thank you card, mm-hmm. everybody would be like, well, you know, Jessica Kufferman doesn't send thank you cards.
I don't.
Right? And
I
so that's what
them.
I'm saying. But I mean, it's like.
I'll send an email, but I don't like wasting paper like that.
Right. But all I'm saying is like there was a bigger repercussion other than, you. Okay. Like I would just say that to you. Okay. All right, fine. Versus like I'll have you on a list of the people who are evil.
That's right.
And like not to be spoken about.
That's how boomers act, that you're evil if you don't send a thank you card within a certain period of time. And some boomers will literally call people if they don't get a thank you card in a week and wonder what happened to it. I'm sorry, I didn't get a thank you card. I'm just making sure you got my gift. Which is really their way of saying, look, shithead, I went ahead and bought it, so you might as well send me a thank you card. I'm going to tell everyone what a shithead you are.
Ouch.
I have an idea.
What?
So you say, listen, if you would like a thank you card, please include a self-addressed stamped thank you card in your gift.
Write it for me. I'll sign
That's
it.
That's right. It's like, you actually already have it in there. So all I have to do is say, thanks, I got it. Bing.
You know, speaking of that, I know we're supposed to talk about She Podcast Live, but I have a weird thing happening with like the first advertiser. I've already declared I don't want any paper programs. Okay. And the first advertiser's like, regardless of whether or not we can come, we'd like to put an ad in your program. And I didn't have an answer for like, no, because right. I guess I haven't. I mean, I thought I made that clear in the like materials, but if you're skimming, you wouldn't see it. So like I have to come up with a solution or branding opportunity that's non-paper related. So that they can have the same presence, but not have to force me to print $7,000 worth of programs. That are just going to be thrown away in the trash.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not
and
just
I
saving
think,
me
I mean, the only,
money.
I have mine, but that's because it's our event. And that's like, you know, that's a historical thing.
It is, but.
This is right. not a, yeah.
But also, it was so stupidly printed the way the schedule was like enormous on the pages because I'm an idiot.
But I have an idea.
What is it?
What is it, John?
Is it the cost of the printing or is it that it's just going to get thrown away? Because I have to give away.
Oh, it's no, the printing. The throwaway. Okay. No, that I hate that they're just going to be thrown away.
So if you made a document with podcasting, almost like a podcasting glossary of different hosting places, different like for podcasting, how to record or something like that. Just kind of like a information guide, and then put advertisements in the information guide. People would hold on to it for the information.
I could also charge $10 extra for them and have them printed on recycled paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that way, if I only have to print 50, great.
I know that. I mean, this is not in any way the scope of what we're putting together, but when we went to my girls had a gymnastics, you know, spring show last year. I don't know if I've talked about this on the show. I could swear I've talked about this somewhere. But what happened is we all got tickets, right? And then when we got the tickets, right before we went in, like on the wall before we were walking in, there was like a QR code. And we had to scan the QR code and it immediately popped up the schedule on my phone. And so then I was like, oh, cool. And then I was like super stoked because then I'm like, oh, it's right there. Neat.
We have Hoova, so we have an online
schedule. Yeah, Hoova has the schedule there too. I mean, we could just...
That's why I thought we could just forgo a program.
Yeah, so then they scan it and they have the program on the phone. There would be more of a chance of them grabbing that and dragging it into their Evernote for when they needed it for something like that.
All right. I mean, I can offer that as an option, a PDF QR code option.
Yeah, because now, I mean, something to think about too, something that people haven't really used a lot of, and we've discussed about it, about this, Jess, how I fell in, you know, when I got my iPad Pro, I fell in love with the ability to write in it and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I know that that's a privilege to have like something like an iPad Pro or even like a real one of the newer iPads with the Apple Pencil and stuff. But I think that's slowly going to start to become a thing too. And being able to import that into anything like either iBooks or the Kindle or, you know, Notability or all the ones, GoodNotes that we have, they look so pretty in there and you can make notes on there and all that kind of stuff. So
Patrick says there's no germs on an online program. Touche, brother. That is very true.
I never thought of that.
But that is very true. Very true. Well, to that end, I was also thinking about doing a virtual swag bag, but we'll see if anybody donates.
I keep talking about that too, though. Like, so, you know, that event that's coming up here very soon, I think next week, the We Are podcast in Australia.
The 21st. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a virtual swag bag. And I was thinking, like, so what does that entail? Like, what does that mean?
Libsyn would have to give a coupon code for like the first month off. Yeah, you can only have access to that if you log into this. I mean, I have a Blogger virtual swag bag if you want to see it. I can show
it to
everyone.
Would be great because I think that's so lame, though. I mean, there's nothing like getting those iBag, like those little is it called an iBag? Because it's not a bag. It's an eye mask. You know, the eye masks that we shared for She Podcast and also for PodFest. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. People love that stuff. The coupon, you can like...
So you get in an email that says, ta-da, your virtual tote has arrived with all the goodies. Claim it, and then you use a code. So,
Are you going to show us? Yeah,
yeah,
claim
I'm showing
it.
You.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Look at that. So those of you guys who are not in the She Podcast Super Squad, I am so sorry. But right now,
Jess
is kind of giving us a she's giving us a screen share.
We have all the videos that we've ever done. Maybe we could put that in the Super Squad.
What do you mean all the videos? Well, of course, we're going to put in the Super Squad.
Okay, good. Well, I'm just saying. Okay.
Yes.
So it says, thank you for attending Blogger Parenting. And then you scroll down a little bit. And first thing is Love Every. They tell you what it is. $40 off a subscription if you click there. Then Pink Chicken, which is some kind of like vintage boho, clothing brand, and they give you 15% off. And then a little further is another $15, you know, and Bandu gives you 20%, which is a pretty good deal for Bandu.
I get that.
I would prefer like an actual product, like rather than all these things, like Bandu, this should be like, get your free notebook by clicking here.
Yes.
That's what I want. I don't want discounts. That's not a gift to me.
Right. I think it would be really cool. You know how Sephora does the birthday present thing? Like it would be something, like it would be really great that when you do this, like for companies especially, that you could use that one coupon code and they literally would send you whatever that free thing was.
Yes. It could only be a giveaway, not a coupon.
Yeah. Or two. It could
but
have
that's
two
what
things,
people like, put in totes. They print out postcards with right. give with like just I don't want right. that though. They exactly. also get thrown away.
Totally. I completely agree. The only thing that I've ever really I was stoked into and I harassed you, Jessica, for you to give this to me, was when Audible gave two free books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, give me them. Give me them.
I remember. So
like, give me that coupon because you're not going to use it.
I was
so excited when I got that card because I immediately scanned them and I got all these free books and I was like, so happy.
Stephanie said free MAC lipstick. If you can facilitate that, Stephanie, I'll be happy to put free MAC lipstick into everybody's tote bag.
And they could press a button or something to get your swag. Because that, I mean, we would have to really work at – like if you think about it as a like if you have a date, so you cannot like okay, so you have all of your digital like this could be sponsored by each of the people. Like let's say Lipson says we are going to buy a MAC lipstick for everybody. Like that's what we're going to do. We're going to buy a red lipstick for everybody. That's what we're going to put in the swag bag. And so what we would do is we would purchase that MAC lipstick and send it all to you.
Yes.
And then it would need to arrive by. Insert yes. the date, like mid of July or whatever.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
and then that way,
yes.
And I know this is sending all that work your way, but you have to kind of put all the boxes and bags together.
No, fuck that. I'll give it to somebody else.
Yeah. And so whatever. Anybody who's going to be doing this that's going to be getting all that puts all the things inside of a box and then sends those out to everybody that's going to be attending She Podcast Live after the event.
Yeah, that reminds me, there's some giveaways that I accidentally sent to your address that are going to be on their way. Yes, remember?
I showed
you something that was on a big sale and I was like, I'm going to send you one. I ended up sending you like four by accident.
Yeah.
Which you can keep for your girls if you want, but there's just still going to be an extra one you're going to have to pack.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right. But I think that that's a good idea. If we send them to one place, they get together. And then what would be amazing is if everything arrives at everybody's homes when they get home. Mm-hmm. So when they get home, they have their thing, all their stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if prior to the event would be great. Whatever.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, I'm glad we can talk this stuff out on our show because it's helpful.
Yeah. So what do you guys think? Please send your emails to feedback@shepodcast.com, somewhere that we could do a virtual swag bag for everybody attending She Podcast Live. Give us some like work-throughs. What are some things that you guys would really want to have on that swag bag that you'd want our sponsors to kind of either buy for y'all or maybe it's a small little thing like a MAC lipstick.
coming
back to that. But maybe something like that in bulk that they can purchase and then have it be in their name in some way, a gift from, you know, whatever.
Okay. So thank you for that. Super helpful. And now I think we've got some. Oh, don't forget, before I stop talking about She Podcast Live, speaker applications are open. You can go to shepodcast.com/speak. And fill out your application. I know I have to send another more clear email about this because I sort of sent like a paragraph or two that probably people skimmed. So I'm just going to send another email saying, hey, by the way, here's the application. But it's shepodcast.com/speak. Fill it out. And get your. We're going to close the applications on June 1st, I believe. So.
Yeah.
So now, are you going to do your playlist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so this is a little bit of a promo that I'm kind of doing like a 1-2 punch here. Number one, I created a blog post / Spotify playlist for Lipson, where it was like a Mother's Day type post where I shared a general kind of everyday LC listening thing. Like it wasn't necessarily aimed at mothers. Like it wasn't like a Mother's Day playlist, like listen to all these mother podcasts. It was like, this is how I live my life. These are the podcasts I listen to. But at the same time, I also kind of made it extra fun by layering music in between the podcast episodes, because you can do that with Spotify playlists. So this is the first time I've ever done that. And I think it's a really great way to get people to introduce people to podcasts. Maybe it's not your show, or maybe it is your show and you're like, you've done like a series of podcasts about whatever topic and you, and I know because we get this question in She Podcast all the time and throughout the podcasting space, can we use, you know, whatever song in our show, blah, blah. Well, this is a wonderful way for you to use all of those songs. that ever existed. Like at the beginning of the show, like you can have like, this would be the intro to this episode. You could choose that if it's like, you know, whatever song you think is amazing. And you can craft these playlists and you can share them very, very easily. So you can share the entire playlist. You can share specific episodes. And the other thing I found out too is that you can actually embed this on your website. So I went the route of embedding each like song, like the song, and then yes, I talked about it, and then I went and found the episode, and then I put that there. And so I kind of went that, but it's easy because you just go into Spotify and it gives you the embed code and you just bam, post it in there and it generates a little player. And I thought that would be like a fun way to share it. So yeah, check it out. Check out how my brain works. Because it's an eclectic mix of all kinds of things going on in there. And yeah, so a little behind the scenes of that.
Woohoo!
Woohoo, yay! And I think that that's now going on to, so this is, I've moved the segment of Weird and Wild Show of the Week a little far, like upward a little bit. So okay. Here we go.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild.
Weird and Wild Show of the Week.
I love how this is an article, but the person who wrote it is the co-founder of Stable Genius Productions.
I know. It's so cool. So they actually talked about how they came up with the name and all that stuff. But anyway, so we've talked about this show in the past, right, John? Because I remember we had a conversation and you went and you subscribed to the show Zigzag and you listened to the season because you came and you commented on it. It's Zigzag? Been a couple years. I was still in my old house when this opened up, and I was talking.
I don't remember any of it.
I know it's been a couple of times. It's been a couple of years, but we've covered this show before, right when they launched, because their season one was amazing. They decided to go at it on their own and start like a podcasting business. So they're both producers by trade. Manoush is primarily a host, although she does have like producer skills. And then Jen is a little bit more of the like producer kind of person, but they've been working in audio for a long time. And they had Manoush had the show called Note to Self, which was also produced by Jen a long time ago. So when I first started to listen to Zigzag the first year, they literally just walk through what it takes to do this for a living, to create podcasts, to have a network, to work as producers, all the stuff. And they went down the play-by-play. It was kind of like, what was that other star? Like Startup, like that first episode of Startup. It was like that before through an entire season. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with it. It was nuanced. There were so many wonderful things that were going on. And I was kind of glad that they were talking about some of these things. Come now, since I can't remember because I was in my old house. So it must have been since 2016 maybe 2017, and now their partnership, because they came together to create this business and they've broken up, and they talk about it on this last episode, dude, and it was like my heart so full, because they are still really good friends. I mean, they're great friends, they know each other very well, and they're talking about why they're breaking up this partnership and this business and how hard it is to make this money. And it really was because of the pandemic stuff, because it's like, you know, Jen is a stay-at-home, like not a stay-at-home mom, but she's like a single mom. Mm-hmm. Manoush is also a mom, but it just being alone, like Jen was talking about, like what it really takes, like how much money, like there's no runway, like thinking about the money. It was a great, I mean, you guys, for those of you guys who are wanting to do this for a living, for those of you guys who have the hopes and dreams of wanting
silly
to do
as
this,
they may be,
the whole podcasting thing and get paid, it'll just give you a real human conversation around what it really takes to do it, you know. And sometimes you have to make really hard decisions. And I do suggest that you need to listen, especially if you want to work on it, because it's not as easy as you think. And I feel that, you know, Jess and I have been really super blessed to continue to do what we're doing here. And maybe because we are so, I don't know how would I say it, like we just do things and we just do them because we want to do it, and we don't pay attention to a lot of things to our detriment. It's maybe why
We're working on it.
We're still do it. I mean, no, but come on. I mean, it's like we've been at this since 2014. How many years is that?
Think a long like time.
It's a long time, and it's like that's how long. But the realities of being able to manage all of these things are not easy.
They're I came up with easy. A good solution this weekend, actually.
Okay, good. Yeah. So anyway, listen, you guys. Link in the show notes. Listen to the last episode of Zigzag. That is it.
That is okay. it. All right.
That is it, yo.
Moving right along.
Are we going into some news now?
Yes. The news you can use for the informed podcaster. Podcasting news.
All right.
So, based on an article from TechCrunch, Spotify owned Anchor. So Anchor can now turn your video chats into podcasts. They are tapping into the increased usage of video conferencing during the coronavirus to grow their own podcast business. That's Spotify. Their creation platform Anchor, which was acquired last year for $140 million, is today, or is this from the other day?
It's a couple of weeks old.
Oh, okay. A couple weeks ago, introduced a new feature that will allow podcasters to turn their video chats and virtual hangouts into podcast-ready audio. The video-to-audio conversion tool works with all kinds of stuff, such as Google Meet, Zoom, Skype, FaceTime, Twitch, which I've never heard of, and Instagram Live. It will also support any MP4 and .mov file that you upload. Isn't that cool?
Very interesting. It's just
do we
like,
want that, though?
That's or? What I... Hey, listen. I...
or do we not... I mean, I see that they have, like, a graphic of, like, cartoons doing this, but, like... what are people actually watching?
Well, they're not watching anything, dude. This is all audio stuff.
Oh, right. Video to audio, not
yeah,
audio
so it's
to
what
video.
We're doing. So what we're doing right now here right. on StreamYard, what we could do is download the StreamYard and then
upload
it over there, and they would do the transcoding into an audio-only delivery mechanism.
That's helpful if you're a YouTuber or you're a YouTuber.
Yes. And it's also really helpful for people who... Again, anchor types that really just want the easiest,
most
minimalist,
less hassle-free solution.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you just grab it and boom, you're up there. So, yeah. I mean, if you like that.
It's a cool solution if you are a YouTuber or you like to make lots of videos, TikTok, whatever, and you don't want to strip it and edit it and do all the things. You can just upload it to Spotify and have them turn it into audio for you. It's a good solution. Why not?
So we'll see how it goes out for people. I haven't seen too many people talking about this, so.
I've seen no one. We're the first person I've seen to talk about it, so.
I mean, I saw it come out a couple of weeks ago, and I had it in the show notes last week to talk about it. But then at the same time, it's like, that's why I skipped it, because I'm like, this isn't really, but whatever. You guys tell us if you are like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm so glad it exists. So y'all email, look at John's face. I'm not sure. I think he's still, he's just, he's like, what?
I think you woke him up.
So no, it's, so when you take Zoom audio or any audio like that, that's subpar and you make a podcast, I don't know.
You're assuming it's subpar.
Right. No, but you're also assuming, John, remember, this is
you're also
Anchor.
Assuming
there's
that
people who are getting
their
phone. Other
people care about what it sounds like besides you.
Okay.
No, come on, Jeff.
Now, wait a minute.
I'm joking.
Hey, I know. But what I'm saying is, like, these are the people that are recording on Anchor. They're the ones that are turning it on and doing everything on Anchor.
Right.
I guess. I don't know. I have a client who uses Zoom, and it sounds like it's just a little bit better than a phone call. So I sent him a link to I Shake My Head with Lisa and Sam. And I said, listen, these two ladies are in a car and listen how I make them sound. And then these two ladies are in a house with just two microphones and listen how I make them sound. And then listen to your show. Please make your show like their show.
Make your show like their show. Well,
I will say that's before, John, our show is not nearly as professional sounding or anything else as it is now.
Right.
So
but
there is something
Jess,
to be said for a producer. I'm not going to discount that.
Right. He has made us sound like amazing. But you have to remember when we started, again, our life circumstances were not the
it sounded so terrible.
Well, I was in a kitchen table with no carpet, no furniture, and a Nessie microphone, which was horrific.
I was using a blue snowball with no headphones.
Yeah, so there you have it. And why?
Oh my god! Look at Jalen's face. He just looked like he just wanted to pass out.
And mind you, we knew about audio. Like, I mean, I knew about good audio, but at the same time, I also knew that if I was going to care about it, we would never record. So I had to get over my own where I was like, if I get really anal about how we sound, we will never put this show out.
Yeah, because who has the time for that now?
Who has the time? I had it Maymay coming up and sucking on my boob like for years at a time. Do you remember that? Like yes. I used to like have to move and like and then in my boobs were so small.
See you. Thank I was
like
God.
They were like we long stringy. Yes.
And I wasn't here for that. I was here just at the end of the butt wiping. Just at the end of the butt wiping.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Period.
Starting the potty training.
And I never had to. I always had Danny. So, although if I were alone in the house right now, I would have to get up and wipe a butt because he's five.
Right.
He's finally five. Like that was 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. I remember the one time that Maymay was using the potty in the bathroom, the little one, the plastic one, and she got up and it was stuck to her butt, and she was dragging it. It was leaking all over the floor.
Yes. Don't you remember that, Jess? That was like traumatic for me. I'm sitting there, and then she sat on her potty, and then she gets up, and she walks up, and it's stuck on her butt, and she had just pooped, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, it was just like.
Recently, my son came out of the bathroom, and Scott was like, did you wipe? You don't smell right. You don't smell right. And he was like, I did. Later that night, as I'm putting him to bed, he goes, Mom, I have to tell you something. And I was like, what? He's like, never mind. I was like, just tell me what it is, please. And he goes, okay, I touched my poop and it was coming out. But I washed my hands. I'm like, did you though? He was like, this was hours and hours later. So I was assuming, I mean, his hands seemed clean. So I wondered if maybe Scott smelled something under his fingernail. Oh. And I was like, did you actually reach into the toilet and pull it out? And he goes, no, I just put my finger as it was coming out just so I could see. God.
Just kind of guided into the bowl.
I was trying so hard not to do what Elsie's doing right now. Right? Because I didn't want to freak him out. So I was like, could we just be done with that area of experiment? Like, can we not do that again? And he was like, I don't need to do it again. I said, did you get what you needed out of that experience? He was like, yes, I did.
This is a long one, but I think this is very important. Stephanie just put something
in. Okay, here. Not poop related. And not everyone has the not tools or resources to use anything other than mobile phone. I was anti-anchor until I talked to podcasters who didn't have many options because of finance or accessibility issues. When it comes to getting their voice out, I lean towards getting their voice. She's 100% right. I mean, having an editor is a privilege. We know that.
Yeah. And also, and again, you know, there's always room to grow. So I think that part of it is, again, if you listen to our first episodes, if you listen to my show on Elsie's yoga class, it sucks. Like in terms of the quality of where we've moved to, right? And it's in the doing that where we've gotten better. And there's some people who can just, they're just going to have to press play and keep going. And there's going to be a point when they're going to go, I think I can now invest in insert whatever that is. Right.
Yeah. I agree with that. If you want to do a podcast and you want to, and the only thing you have to do to use is your phone right now. Yes. But there's techniques that you can use that make you sound better on the phone. And I don't mean by buying software and stuff like that. And when you first start, everybody stinks when you first start. But as you get in and you start to become better at it, then you can either improve. But taking stuff from Zoom and just making a podcast out of it, I don't know. Yeah. Not a fan.
I'm just not a fan. The easiest thing. You know, it could be something that people just don't. I mean, they can just start that way and then move forward from there. And I completely agreed with Stephanie as well that I heard a show that I am subscribed to. I subscribed to it right away. And the audio isn't particularly like up on par as to how I would want it to sound. But her voice in all its ways, like meaning her actual voice and the voice that she's putting out was so – it hit me so hard that I'm like, I don't care if she's on a phone. I don't care. I'm going to listen to this podcast because it aligns with what I want. And and I want to hear in my ears. Like, it was just such a relief. The content was so like, oh my God, yes, that I didn't care if it sounded crappy. So there are times when I will do that for sure. So, but mind you, though, it's also one of those things where I think it's incredibly valuable and I would support her to at some point upgrade. But taking a show like that and immediately thinking you're going to monetize that in a way that is based only on the podcast is going to be a hard sell. If it had like a community, a course, something else going on in the back end, products or services or something like that, that would work more. But if it's going to be ad supported and podcast centric, I think that that's a much harder sell when you have subpar audio.
Yeah, of course.
You can get away with that as a business.
Of course.
But not as a, you know. So I'm just saying that, but for listening to my ears, I was like, oh my God, this is so great.
But that podcast might not know enough to know enough on what to do to make it better.
That's very true.
That's true. But also, again, John, it's like, it could be that you know what you need, but you can't get that yet. Like, I remember I had to stay. The first upgrade that I made to my podcasting was I bought a MacBook. After I got my first big paycheck from doing one of my acting jobs, because that was like a huge check. And that was the first upgrade that I had. But the first, you know, whatever that was before, I was working with a PC that sucked. And I could not understand how things worked and all of that stuff. So it took me a while for me to then upgrade to whatever that was. And then the microphone and then the lavaliers and then the recorder. I mean, it took a while to build all that stuff up. It wasn't just like, here, let me buy all the things.
Right.
I mean, when I first started, I was unemployed for the first time in my entire life at 51. And I bought a Shure SM58, okay, and I used the laptop that I had, and I used all the free things. I used Audacity and all those free things, because when I was with Cliff, he's like, here's $1,500 and we'll get you a PR 40,
PR 40,
and this mixer and everything you need, just $1,500. I'm like, $1,500? I just spent X amount of money for this course that I had to sell things for to get to buy the course just so I could learn how to do it.
So
it's not like I was like, oh, you know what? I'll just go over to my trust fund and get some money out because I'd like to try some podcasting. Yes, I understand what it's like to come with no money and no job and want to start podcasting. You start slow and you just do what you can and you build up to what you can do. I get that. But back then, there was there a USB mic? I don't even think there was a USB. Maybe the Yeti or maybe the Blue Snowball
was out
there?
I remember you had to have that little extra connector thingy. Because even then, I remember, I forgot what it's called, but it was like, it's called the iMic. It was called the iMic that you had to stick into the side of the computer, and that made it so that you could plug in a microphone. And I remember I was plugging my microphone through a 1/4 inch or 1/8 inch in there. And that's how I got, oh my God, it was like a hack.
Right. Yeah, we were hacking and all this. Like, podcasting now is so much easier than it was back then.
So much more easy. So many more technologies, so many more services, so much more. I agree.
So much more. All right. So shall we continue on? Here we go. Okay. So our friends over at podthon.com, it's a virtual conference. They also are requesting for speakers. So we have speakers for Podthon.
Wow. say that three times fast.
I know. It's very hard to say. So if you guys are looking for other opportunities as well to speak, this event, I believe, goes on in July, I believe. Yes, July 18th through the 19th. It is a virtual summit for podcasters. So you guys can apply. And it is co-organized by the Asian American Podcasters and the WOC Podcasters, the Women of women of color podcasters. So they teamed up to create this offering. And so if you would like to apply, you have, I think it says there, it says, oh no, it's 60 days till Podthon. So I'm not sure when you have to stop the speaker submissions or whatever, but go ahead and check it out. There will be a link in the show notes so that if any of you feel that this is an event that you'd like to speak in or you have something to offer, feel free to apply.
Right on.
Right on. This next one, Jess, you're welcome to take.
Ooh, me. Okay. Yeah. Podcast One is going to be acquired by LiveX Live so that they can enter the, quote, rapidly growing podcast market. LiveX Media is a global digital media company founded on live entertainment, announced today that they're going to acquire Courtside Group, Inc., owner and operator of Podcast One, a leading subscription and advertiser-supported podcast network, home to popular and star-studded podcasts across top genres, including sports, comedy, celebrity, culture, and entertainment. So that is the Adam Carolla Network. That is the Shaquille O'Neal Network. That is the Jordan Harbinger Network. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, Jordan.
You've just been bought.
Dr. Drew, Heidi Mike Spencer Tyson. And Heidi Pratt.
I didn't know he had a podcast.
I did not know that as well. Cold Stone, Cold Steve Austin. I'm not even speaking English. T.I. Heron. Yes, Spencer and Heidi Pratt. I didn't know you would ever know who that was.
I only saw, I don't even remember how I found out about those people.
Well,
I can't remember.
Let it exit your mind immediately. They're the worst. They are professionally the worst on purpose.
Okay.
Right. Norm Pattiz says, will join LiveX Live as a significant shareholder and remain executive chairman of Podcast One. He is regarded as a pioneer in the radio industry, having founded and built Westwood One, which is the largest radio network in America. And he says, we're all excited about joining their team, taking advantage of obvious future synergies between our businesses. I look forward to working with Rob Allen to close the acquisition and achieve the growth we both envision. Podcast One is a premium producer, distributor, and revenue generator for audio on demand programming. Our well-established podcasting business is an excellent complement to LiveX Live's live social music network, delivering premium live stream, digital audio, and on-demand music. So this is a side note, but I'm not that big of a Norm Pattiz fan.
Neither am I.
He is well known also for being like grouchy and misogynistic with like a Napoleon complex of some kind. So
I actually don't know if he's short? You've seen him live. I've never seen him.
He is a short Jew.
Oh.
And the reason I know he's short is because when I saw him introduced at the very, very first podcast up front in New York, Adam Carolla introduced him. And when he came out on stage, it was Adam and Shaquille O'Neal on stage.
Oh, God.
And he goes, wow, Norm, you're like the shortest person on stage right now. And everyone laughs. And he goes, don't forget I give you your paycheck, Adam.
And he was somebody did not have a sense of humor.
And he said something to the effect of, I don't have to offer you 30% either. Like, it was something really like, could you just call? Like, he, let me chop your balls in two.
I will get ya. I will knock you at the knees.
So he does not have a sense of humor, apparently, about being short, which, whatever. Yeah. I just think he's got a big ego and no legs to match up with it.
Okay.
Anyway, I just thought he was a jerk. Whatever. Okay, that's that. So, yep, keep on a lookout for things happening in that area.
Yeah, when I saw that, I thought it was a lot of money, mm-hmm. right? That's a lot of money for something.
A lot of money, yes,
it's a lot of money. They got a lot of money, whatever that might be or what that means.
Yes,
and the other thing is like I've never heard of LiveX Live. I'm totally out of the music streaming, live streaming world. It seemed to me that it's like an amalgam or maybe a type of Spotify, iHeartRadio kind of. I don't know. I don't think I've never.
iHeartRadio dwarfs Podcast One. I mean, in many, many ways. Podcast One is just a network.
Yeah. I don't know what LiveX Live is.
I never heard of it either.
And that doesn't mean that, of course, because I don't know it doesn't mean that it's not good. I mean, I'm old. But what was interesting is when I went over and I did a little research and then I put it in the show notes here, y'all. I looked at About Us, who are LiveX Live. And then I was really struck by the management team, which is a I don't know. You can scroll and you can describe the management team as you look through in our Notion notes.
A lot of old white guys, I see.
A lot of old white guys, yeah. They all kind of look alike. I mean, I wouldn't be able to be like, hey, that's that one guy.
There's one guy of Asian descent in there, it looks like.
He looks, he's very handsome. I like that man. He's very striking.
Okay.
He looks like an actor. He looks like he should be like in a Netflix show.
He was.
What?
So maybe he was. I don't know.
Maybe he was. I know. No, no, maybe he was. That's right.
Who knows? Everybody else?
I'm like, whoa, these guys. So it's just, to some degree, I just think like these guys, I don't know, y'all. I think it just, I can't just be like, here, you like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. All I'm saying is like, I don't know if I would want my show, like if my show were acquired or were part of Podcast One, which we would never fit in that, Jess, anyway. But let's pretend. Let's pretend we were there.
Yeah, let's pretend. I like this idea because I want to see what goes on here. Okay, so let's pretend.
When I would see that, I would be like, I don't know. Maybe we should put the link in the show notes. Can you post the link there, Jess or John, to the in this so that Patrick can see the handsome man?
I can, if you want me to, I can bring him up, I think.
Oh, yeah, we can put him up. But anyway, I just don't think they would even know how to sell our show. I don't think they would even see a value of our show. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for those of you guys who are watching live, here's the management team. And we can, and John is just showing the management team as it scrolls up. It's beautiful. And then we can just stop when we get to the handsome man that will be coming soon. There he
that
is.
Guy?
Yeah, I think he's a very handsome. He's a very handsome man.
Is he?
Anyway, not to say that you have to be handsome to do these things, but all I'm saying is that they all kind of look alike.
I mean, they don't all look alike. What, well, do they? One of them is one of them
is Asian.
Of
Rob Walsh right there.
Maybe.
I know.
Are you saying that just because they're all white men? Yeah. Wait, is that Jay Bear? Wait, go back.
It's not Jay Bear. No,
it looks
it's
like
not
Jay Bear.
Bear,
dude. Go back up.
That guy?
No, keep going. That dude. No, you're right.
No, dude,
not
that's
Jay
not Jay Bear.
Look, all right, you're right. It went fast. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
No. Anyway, all I'm saying is that I just, looking at these men, unless I knew them, like, and had a conversation with them and see, like, if they were, in, like, knew the pulse of, I don't know, the work or in podcasting, like, I just... That would not be a place where I feel like they would value what we had to offer.
Right.
Okay, so then who's that guy you didn't like, Jess? What was that guy's name that
Norman
came out?
Norman Pattiz, P-A-T-T-I-Z. Okay.
So if I'm Norman and I call up and I say, you know what? I want to buy your show and I want to give you $500,000 per year for your show. Now, how is your value stack up against the greenbacks?
It's Norman. It's just that I would not want to deal with him or even be in a public place in any way saying thank you to this man. I couldn't do that. I could not do that.
You're turning down 250K large.
I don't know if I can.
Because of Norman?
You know what I would do? There's a possibility
you have to
that
talk
if,
to him, the answer is yeah.
Yeah. If it, okay, so this is what I would do, though, John. Maybe this is the only way I would do that. If he purchased outright, we kept getting the money, and Jess and I were removed. I would sell the brand, and I would take, and Jess and I would go create our own stuff and not have anything to do with it anymore.
I call shenanigans on you,
it's
too.
Like, it's do like you? Over. Like, it's no longer Jess and Elsie. It is its own thing, and we take ourselves out.
Well, then why would they buy it if they're buying you?
I don't think so. I think that our brand is worth
it. The brand,
I have a feeling that there's a lot of people who would pay for our brand. We built a lot of really great stuff, and it's worth it on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we obviously, yes, Jess and I have a lot of value. Yes, we are worth it. I'm not discounting that. But the brand on its own also can live on its own.
I don't know. I think if they came up and threw that kind of money at you, you guys would go. You wouldn't like it, but you'd go.
Oh, no, you don't know him, dude. It's like, at least he could.
It's like selling it to Harvey Weinstein, but less rape.
Yeah,
less
exactly.
Rapier version.
But less rape. Yeah, it's like that.
But less like, rapey. Less rapey. Criminally and more.
All the creepy, half the rape.
Yeah.
All the creepy, half the rape.
All the creep. Not half. Like no rape. I will not even begin to accuse him of rape or even sexual harassment, although I think someone else has done that once. But
allegedly.
Allegedly, maybe. Right.
But we don't know any of that.
We don't know nothing.
It is kind of like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's just a big, big ego in little pants. I just don't like that. You know?
John, there comes a point there, John, I just think that you'd probably go like this too. I don't know if I sold, like, you'd feel so guilty. Like, I don't know. I couldn't do it, man.
I know that I've worked for a bunch of people that I couldn't stand, but you know, you need to make a living, and they were paying for my, you know, and again, you know, I would say, well, I can put up with this for that. I mean, everybody has their price. That's one constant. Everybody has their price.
Also, I think that also Jess and I have had a little bit more experience with not having a boss, or more experience of having a boss and being like, this really sucks quickly, whether or not that boss is a good boss or a bad boss. It's just like the whole boss part. So I think that there's something to be said about that. I don't know.
You know me, I'm big into independent podcasting and being your own boss. I do like that. But I do have to say that if somebody comes and throws money at me, not that they ever would, but if somebody ever came and threw money at me, I would say, well, you know, I have daughters that are going to need weddings, and I have this that's going to, you know, and this could pay for that, and that could pay for that. And okay, I'll sacrifice this for that.
Right. I think I would take the money, like, but not here. Like Luminary, Spotify, iHeartRadio, bring it on. Mm-hmm. Make an offer, y'all. Mm-hmm. You know
Come
what I mean?
Y'all.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, y'all.
I dare them to tempt you with that offer.
Pandora,
so that
like all
down.
The things. All the, like, yeah, I'll sell. I'll sell out then. Mm-hmm. I'm just not a fan of that. And if Norman maybe left.
Right.
Possibly. But I don't know. It's just like looking, it just feels like it's so against everything we stand for. Here, let's sell our brand to all these, like there's not one woman in that management team.
Nope.
There's like one woman in the advisory team. That's like one out of like almost 20. Hmm. There's like the guy, at least at this moment, the handsome man who happens to be a person of color. And other than that, that's it. And there's not even like diversity in ages. They're all over, what, 50? So it's like, I don't know. We're fighting for something. And then all of a sudden, we're like, yeah, here, give us the money. Yeah, dude, go white guys. Take it on. Like,
go white guys. It's
Team white guys. Team old white guys.
Yeah.
Yes. Right.
Let's do it. Let's see how you do cheap podcasts.
Yes. Could we?
All of a sudden it would be like John and his friends.
Hey.
What happened to cheap podcasts?
Ouch. That was painful.
I know. I like it.
John and his friends.
Anyway.
That's funny.
Okay. So this is another bit of news. This is actually a job. That was shared with me. James Cridlin actually tagged me on Twitter, and he sent this to me, and he said, maybe your community is going to be interested in this. This is a job offering for, this is a full-time position at Parcast, which was acquired by Spotify, I believe in 2019. And I think that this is an LA job. But who knows? Maybe you don't have to do that anymore because whatever. But anyway. So they are seeking a researcher to contribute to ongoing and future adaptations of podcasts for the Latin American market. This position will review, organize, and deliver existing podcast production assets and identify localized episode topics for established podcast shows produced in both Spanish and Portuguese. It's a really interesting job. I think that they get to do some really neat things like develop release schedules and like... I think I like the research new locally relevant episode topics for podcast adaptations in the Latin American market. You can check out pitches. You can give feedback, creative feedback on sound design for some of the adapted episodes. I mean, there's all kinds of like really, really cool things here. So if you're interested, come and check out our show notes and you can click through. And if you think that this is a thing that you would like to do, then go ahead and apply and then let us know. Let us know how it goes.
Yes,
who knows?
Please.
Maybe you're hired.
Yeah.
And lastly, I think I am bringing somebody for our newest segment. Woohoo! Yeah. So I found this. This was, I was alerted to this. So Jess, this isn't specifically from the She Podcast community, but mm-hmm. this is a woman. This was also, I was tagged by Sune, who is a Spanish-speaking podcast consultant and professional. Mm-hmm. And when I say Spanish-speaking, also from Spain. So this is, I believe, the first, and it could be like first as in like Spanish from Spain podcast producer that has been given a grant. Her name is Lucia Arana Igarza. And she is a writer and podcaster based in Spain. So she received a grant for Derecho y Animales, el podcast de Interseeds. Mm. That's the first podcast in Spain and in Spanish on animal rights from the legal perspective. It is based on interviews with different legal experts, attorneys, judges, prosecutors, police. And each episode interviews a legal expert on animal advocate who will analyze a specific animal cruelty case. So, good for her.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yay.
And it was awarded from the Culture and Animals Foundation, which I believe is that a United States? Is it from the U.S.? Like, I didn't even read that. What's the history? Oops.
I think they are, too. I didn't see that they were from out of town. But I did think it would be funny if I insisted on reading this one because most of it's in Spanish. It says the first podcast in Spain and in Spanish.
Yeah.
She's based in Spain.
Yes, she's based in Spain.
Isn't that what you asked me?
No, what I asked is, I don't know where Culture and Animals Foundation is founded, not the Spanish. Like, I know that one's from Spain and she is from Spain, but I want to know where, it says the origins of this, of the Culture of Animals Foundation. I think it's a United States organization. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of neat that it was a U.S. organization that focuses on animal and culture and animal stuff. Mm-hmm. That's really sad. Okay. I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry to diminish.
Are you diminishing things?
Well, I just said and animals and stuff. I mean, I'm sure that they're doing really good things for animals. I just don't know how to say it in a good, inspiring way.
Why don't we just post the link and let people
fill it? Yes. So all y'all, you can, and anyway, so you can get grants through the Culture and Animals Foundation for research, creativity, and performance. And I'll put a link in the show notes about how you can do that if you have an animal show.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, I think that is it for our show. Thank you so much for being with us this time.
Yay!
And for hanging in there. To find us on social media, you can find us at She Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also see our show notes at shepodcast.com. If you want to check out the event, it's also at shepodcast.com. Don't forget, there's a call for speakers from now till June 1st. So if you're hearing this and you want to speak, fill it out. And then our show notes are on shepodcast.com. All the links of everything we've talked about, shepodcast.com. And if you want to write us, you can write us at feedback@guesswhere. shepodcast.com.
Ooh.
That was my guess.
It was a novel. Yeah.
I know.
So thank you guys so much for listening. You've been a wonderful audience. Love you.
Mean it.
Bye. With jazz hands.